That was no hurricane,
said Fudge miserably.
Excuse me, barked the Prime Minister, now positively stamping up and down. Trees uprooted, roofs ripped off, lampposts bent, horrible injuries.
It was the Death Eaters, said Fudge. He who must not be named, followers. And we suspect, giant involvement.
The Prime Minister stopped in his tracks as though he had hit an invisible wall.
What involvement?
Fudge grimaced.
He used giants last time, when he wanted to go for the grand effect, he said. The Office of Misinformation has been working around the clock. We've had teams of obliviators out trying to modify the memories of all the muggles who saw what really happened. We've got most of the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures running around Somerset, but we can't find the giant. It's been a disaster.
You don't say, said the Prime Minister furiously.
I won't deny that morale is pretty low at the ministry, said Fudge. What with all that, and then losing Amelia Bones.
Losing who?
Amelia Bones, head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. We think he who must not be named may have murdered her in person because she was a very gifted witch and all the evidence was that she put up a real fight.
Fudge cleared his throat and, with an effort it seemed, stopped spinning his bowler hat.
But that murder was in the newspapers, said the Prime Minister, momentarily diverted from his anger. Our newspapers. Amelia Bones, it just said she was a middle-aged woman who lived alone. It was a nasty killing, wasn't it? It's had rather a lot of publicity. The police are baffled, you see.
Fudge sighed.
Well, of course they are, he said. Killed in a room that was locked from the inside, wasn't she? We, on the other hand, know exactly who did it. Not that that gets us any further toward catching him. And then there was Emmeline Vance. Maybe you didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yes, I did, said the Prime Minister. It happened just around the corner from here, as a matter of fact. The papers had a field day with it. Breakdown of law and order in the Prime Minister's backyard.
And as if all that wasn't enough, said Fudge, barely listening to the Prime Minister, we've got Dementors swarming all over the place, attacking people left, right and centre.
Once upon a happier time, this sentence would have been unintelligible to the Prime Minister, but he was wiser now.
I thought Dementors guard the prisoners in Azkaban, he said cautiously. They did, said Fudge wearily, but not any more. They've deserted the prison and joined he who must not be named. I won't pretend that wasn't a blow.
But, said the Prime Minister with a sense of dawning horror, didn't you tell me they're the creatures that drain hope and happiness out of people?
That's right, and they're breeding. That's what's causing all this mist.
The Prime Minister sank weak-kneed into the nearest chair. The idea of invisible creatures swooping through the towns and countryside, spreading despair and hopelessness in his voters, made him feel quite faint.
Now, see here, Fudge. You've got to do something. It's your responsibility as Minister of Magic. My dear Prime Minister, you can't honestly think I'm still Minister of Magic after all this. I was sacked 3 days ago. The whole wizarding community has been screaming for my resignation for a fortnight. I've never known them so united in my whole term of office, said Fudge, with a brave attempt at a smile.
The Prime Minister was momentarily lost for words. Despite his indignation at the position into which he had been placed, he still rather felt for the shrunken-looking man sitting opposite him.
I'm very sorry, he said finally. If there's anything I can do. It's very kind of you, Prime Minister, but there is nothing. I was sent here tonight to bring you up to date on recent events and to introduce you to my successor. I rather thought he'd be here by now, but of course he's very busy at the moment with so much going on.
Fudge looked around at the portrait of the ugly little man wearing the long curly silver wig, who was digging in his ear with a point of a quill. Catching Fudge's eye, the portrait said,
"He'll be here in a moment. He's just finishing a letter to Dumbledore."
"I wish him luck," said Fudge, sounding bitter for the first time. "I've been writing to Dumbledore twice a day for the past fortnight, but he won't budge. If he'd just been prepared to persuade the boy, I might still be... Well, maybe Scrimgeour will have more success."
Fudge subsided into what was clearly an aggrieved silence, but it was broken almost immediately by the portrait, which suddenly spoke in its crisp official voice.
"To the Prime Minister of Muggles, requesting a meeting. Urgent. Kindly respond immediately. Rufus Scrimgeour, Minister of Magic."
"Yes, yes, fine," said the Prime Minister distractedly, and he barely flinched as the flames in the grate turned emerald green again, rose up and revealed a second spinning wizard in their heart, disgorging him moments later onto the antique rug. Fudge got to his feet and, after a moment's hesitation, the Prime Minister did the same, watching the new arrival straighten up, dust down his long black robes and look around. The Prime Minister's first foolish thought was that Rufus Scrimgeour looked rather like an old lion. There were streaks of grey in his mane of tawny hair and his bushy eyebrows. He had keen yellowish eyes behind a pair of wire-rimmed spectacles and a certain rangy, loping grace, even though he walked with a slight limp. There was an immediate impression of shrewdness and toughness. The Prime Minister thought he understood why the wizarding community preferred Scrimgeour to Fudge as a leader in these dangerous times.